officer and a gentleman. Joe Cocker and Jennifer Warms and Up Where We Belong on BBC Radio Northampton. It's coming up to 10:15 Sunday morning. It's time to meet our Sunday paper reviewer this morning, who is Christiane Parker. Good morning.
Good morning, Helen.
So I've been describing you all morning as a nutritionist and kinesiologist.
Yes.
Is that right?
That's right.
So tell us a little bit about what you do. First of all, let's start with the nutrition side of things.
Okay. Well, first of all, I trained as a clinical nutritionist. I've been practicing for 14 years. And that's basically the science of how foods work in the body. So when I'm treating people, I use food as medicine. I put them on special eating plans to improve their health. It's also understanding how vitamins, minerals and herbs and homeopathic remedies and so forth work down at a cellular level. So I use in my practice natural remedies as a treatment for people with health problems.
There's been a lot in the news recently about homeopathic medicine, hasn't there? And it's not worth the paper it's written on. I mean, obviously, yeah. You don't believe that.
No, I don't believe that. I've seen too many people get well, and I do use homeopathic remedies, and they work.
So tell us a little bit about kinesiology.
Kinesiology, that's always the more difficult one to explain. Some people think it's some kind of a faith, but it's not. It's a science. Kinesiology was developed by a chiropractor back in the 50s. It's based on the science of muscle and movement, kinetics. It was originally developed as a therapy to make structural corrections on the musculoskeletal system, but over the years it's been developed and enhanced as a therapy, and it crosses over a lot into Chinese medicine. It's a form of energy medicine.
Right.
So I use all the electrical energy field in the body, which is running and connecting back to different organs and body systems, to try and help me find out what's out of balance with a person's health.
So how do you find that sort of thing out? Do you have to touch people or do you...
Well, when I'm treating or testing people, they're lying down, and I apply very light touch to these electrical energy points, and then I apply pressure to muscle. And depending on the resistance of the muscle, whether the muscle is strong or weak, when I touch these energy points, that gives me feedback as to where there are negative and positive energy flows around that person's body. And these points connect back to different organs. So I get a feel for what might be out of balance with the person's body. I also use it for food sensitivity testing.
So tell us a little bit about that then. Because when people say, oh, I'm allergic to such and such,
yes.
They're generally not, are they? They're just sensitive to it.
Yes. There's a key difference between an allergy and an intolerance. If somebody's allergic to something, they usually have some kind of antibody, which makes them react quite violently to something. Like they might have, like the peanut thing, mm-hmm. where you have an anaphylactic shock, or somebody who gets sick or breaks out in a rash. So if somebody eats prawns and they know they always get sick from that, they never have it. An intolerance is something else. It's something which may exacerbate an existing health problem. So say, for example, you've got arthritis. Typically, high acid foods would irritate the joints and make them worse. So people, if they eat red meat and they've got arthritis, that would change the chemistry in the body and exacerbate that particular health problem. So an intolerance is something that irritates another health problem. Like some people might get a bloated tummy, or certain foods they eat might give them headaches and so forth. So I always look for intolerances. People tend to know what their allergies are, but they don't know what their intolerance is. It's more complicated to sift through and find that out.
So if you find people are intolerant to things, do you then give them guidance as to what they can actually eat?
Yes, I do. So if I'm going to tell people to cut out wheat, which comes up quite commonly, then I tell them what to have instead, all sorts of different grains that they can use instead to replace that particular food so that they keep their diet in balance.
So it's not restrictive, is it? You don't tell people you can't have that. It's just you might want to move away from that towards,
yes.
say, rye bread or something like that.
Yeah, that's it. And really, when somebody comes along, first of all, the first 4 weeks on their plan, I usually get them to try and exclude the food altogether to get in the habit of trying to pretend it doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
And then I let them bring it back in once they've got the hang of their new way of eating. So it's teaching people what is going to make them well and make them feel vibrant and healthy and alive and full of joy, rather than going around every day with all their aches and pains and headaches and health disorders.
What sort of people come to see you? Is it specifically women, or do you get men, or do you get young people?
I get people from every age. The youngest person I treated was 2 weeks old.
Wow.
And the oldest was probably around 90. But, I do see more women than men generally, because women tend to be a little bit more proactive about their health. And but I do see people from all walks of life, and I treat and support people with all sorts of health problems, ranging from headaches, digestive problems, joint problems, hormones. And I do work with people who are going through more serious illnesses like cancer. So I don't treat them. I support them to help optimise their health along the way during their journey.
Do you get referrals from GPs, or do people just come and see you?
No, I get referrals from people who've been to see me, right, generally, not GPs.
So it is all word of mouth stuff. So that's, yes, that's great, because that means that it is working for people.
Yes, it is. Yes, it's all word of mouth.
And have you always been a nutritionist?
No, I've been practising this for 14 years.
Right.
And before that, I had a career in IT, which is completely different.
So what made you want to change?
Well, I actually went to live in Germany for a few years. And when I got out there, I got very ill. I got pneumonia. And it was really quite hard to recover and pick up from that. And I felt very tired and unwell. And now it would be probably classed as post-viral fatigue syndrome. And I just started thinking about food. And I thought, what difference does food make? So I started reading books about food. And it was Food Combining for Health that actually inspired me to study nutritional medicine. And I thought, I started eating differently and started to feel a lot better. And then I went out looking for a course. I thought, well, this is what I want to do. So that's how I set off on this journey.
Can we, I'm thinking of a way to phrase this, can we blame all modern ailments on the things that we eat, do you think?
Yes.
Okay, that's the end of that question.
That's a bit of a big statement for me to make. But the Western diet has a lot to answer for. I mean, the problem today is that we don't eat seasonally. We import our food. You know, the fruits are picked from the other side of the world. By the time the food lands on your plate, it's very depleted. And people eat a lot of fast food, rubbish food. People eat on the hop. The tradition of sitting around the table eating, you know, your meat and two veg and so forth has diminished over the years. And people don't understand how simple it is to eat well and to actually follow that and do that at home.
Do we need to fundamentally make a change, maybe at school level, to teach children more about the food that they eat, where it comes from, that kind of,
yes,
thing?
Yes, and I absolutely take my hat off to Jamie Oliver. He has done a wonderful job at teaching children how to eat and what to eat, and that, you know, salad isn't scary. It actually can be quite nice and things like that. He's done a wonderful job there. There's still a lot of room for improvement. And it is very difficult, because when my children were at school, I used to go in and talk to the school because I was on this sort of mission of fixing the world. And with all my new enthusiasm. And I went in and said, you know, I'll give you some of my time to come in and stand in the queue with the children and talk to them and say, you know, you should choose this instead of that. And I remember saying to my son one day, you know, when you go, Edward, when you go to school, pick something green off the menu when you choose. And he came home and said the only green thing he could find was floating in a curry. And there was a bit of green on a potato or something. And, it's really, really difficult then to actually try and get this message forward.
Mm. Do we need to take it home as well? Because people will say, we're too busy to cook. We haven't got the time. It is just easy. It's just to slam something in the microwave. What are we actually doing to our food by doing things like that?
Well, the microwave is changing the molecular structure of the food, so it's bad. It's not really a good thing to do. It's so easy to whip up a meal quickly. I'm always running behind myself with time. And I had porridge for breakfast today. It takes 2 minutes. A little bit of water in a bowl, throw in the oats, boil it, it's ready. By the time the kettle's boiled for your herbal tea, the porridge is ready. And it's so easy to pop a bit of food together easily. You know, you can pop a piece of chicken or fish in the oven, and by the time you've assembled a salad or, you know, baked a potato while you're doing something else, it's easy. It's really easy to get a really good healthy meal together in about 20 minutes.
Okay, so if people are listening, Christiane, and they're thinking, this lady is going to be able to help me with blah-de-blah. Mm. Are you happy to see people? Are you happy just for them to phone you up and just have a quick chat?
Yes, I am. If somebody's coming to see me, it's quite a commitment. Mm-hmm. If they invest in paying me for my consultation time. And also, it's a two-hour session with me the first time people meet me. And then I ask them back 4 weeks later for another hour session, and they might need to come and see me a few times. So before people come along, I welcome anybody to call me and talk through what what their needs are and to see if it is something I can help them with, because I like them to buy into the fact that if they come along and see me, there's no good in saying, if they come along and they've got a pain in their tummy or their head, and I say, if you stop eating that food, that pain will go away, and then they'll say, oh, I don't want to give up that food. And then I say, well, you know, well, what do you want? Do you want the pain or the food? Mm. So I like people to understand what it is we're going to do and that they come along ready for this project, leading them to wellness. So yeah, anybody can call me and have a chat if they want. There's no obligation to actually come along.
Are you happy to give us your number?
Yes, my number is 01604 677 mm-hmm. 854. Mm-hmm. And I also have a website as well, which people can go and have a look, and it tells them a little bit more about me. It's www.christianparker. Christiane is spelt C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A-N-N-E, parker.co.uk.
And just explain a little bit about what will happen if somebody does decide that they want to come to see you. You've said you treat people lying down. That's great.
Yes. It's nice. Come and have a rest in the middle of the day. But if somebody's coming along, I send them a health screening questionnaire which asks about their health problems and what they're trying to achieve. I get that back so I can start putting my plan together about what we're doing. During the two-hour session, first of all, we discuss their issues in detail. I then do a full range of food sensitivity testing, about 200 different things, and they'll be lying down while I'm testing them. There's no removal of clothes or anything like that. The only thing people take off is their jewellery, like a watch. And so I do the food testing and the evaluation work with kinesiology, and then we sit down and I explain to them exactly what I feel is out of balance with their body and what we need to do to move them forward. So they leave me after 2 hours with a project to work on for 4 weeks, which involves a therapeutic way of eating, using food as medicine, and where necessary, a prescription of any vitamins, minerals, herbs, etc. that I believe they need to treat their health issues.
Do you find a lot of people are short of one particular vitamin?
Yes, at the moment it's vitamin D because we haven't had any sun. I call vitamin D sunshine in a bottle. So I actually put people on vitamin D. Probably the thing that people are most lacking is magnesium, the mineral magnesium. There's a big obsession about putting calcium enriching calcium in so many food products. We need it for our bones, etc. But to absorb the calcium, we also need magnesium, boron, vitamin D and a few other ingredients. And magnesium, I think, is the forgotten mineral in that sense. We use up bucket loads when there's high levels of stress or anxiety and the body's too acidic. We use up a lot of magnesium. I call it a chill-out mineral. It calms people down and there's an awful lot of stress about it at the moment. So it is the mineral I probably use the most. Okay. That I give to people.
Well, we'll have a chat about what you've seen in the papers in just a moment. We need to have a song and some traffic
Good.
News and some sport. That's Christiane Parker. We'll hear more from her in a little while.